Wake up, everyone. It's time for a call to action. Welcome to Call to Action Today, where there are no sacred cows, with your host, Steve Noble, just an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and he's calling you out every week to live the Christian life in your home, your work, and even in politics. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH, or check him out online at c2atoday.org. And now, with some much-needed cough medicine for the church, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Oh, man, yeah. So we grabbed the family, grabbed the kiddos, jumped around the TV, and tuned in to the 2018 Grammy Awards last night. And, boy, was that a family-friendly fest. Boy, it was just a great time, and just really enjoyed it. And the outfits were really stunning and, you know, neato. And then the comments were really uplifting. And my friend DJ on Facebook Live goes, and the award for the most sexist, misogynistic, vile hypocrites goes to the Grammys. So, no, I didn't watch the Grammys last night with the family. We had better things to do, you know, like breathe and, you know, get ready for the week and stuff like that. Sorry, I was getting rid of the little tea bag I had in here. And yeah, the Grammys, once again. Well, just on one hand, I sit there and go, man, is it just the, you know, it's just a representation, unfortunately, of a significant portion of the American population, but not based on the ratings. So I'm going to go through that. And that there was one really bright spot, a gal named Joy Villa. I don't know if she pronounces it Villa, like Bob Villa. Remember This Old House? I don't know if she pronounces it that way. Joy Villa, I'll call her Villa just to go with that. She turned up at the 60th Grammy Awards in a dress that made a huge statement. You may be shocked, as I was, to see. Although you might remember, she showed up last year with the MAGA dress, right? Make America Great Again, the big MAGA dress with Trump emblazoned on the back of the dress, like down along the ground, that part of the dress. Just huge. So she showed up this year. Hillary Clinton had a little, which is interesting. I think the Clinton legacy, both Bill and Hillary, is completely on fire and only getting worse. And so she had a little cameo last night because a bunch of these folks were reading. They were making kind of a joke about the spoken word award next year. Maybe it would go to somebody who was reading the Fire and Fury book about Donald Trump. And so Hillary Clinton shows up and she's reading a part of the book. I think it was just a tape thing. And then they're like, oh, hands down, she's the winner. Ha ha ha. But then you look at that and, you know, she's, you know, Me Too, hashtag Me Too, which I think is a worthy movement. But Hillary Clinton, then the story comes out. Hillary Clinton slammed for no apology response to harassment story. Somebody that worked on her campaign that was part of the faith side of it, kind of the faith initiative side of it, was a charge of sexual harassment comes up by one of the other young ladies on the campaign. And they didn't exactly handle it well. And so she shows up with the hashtag Me Too stuff. And you just go, God, really? So I'll talk a little bit about that. A story that you almost never hear of. I'm shocked by this, that the military defeat of ISIS since Donald Trump became president is just nothing short of amazing. I mean, I would call it miraculous if I had all the information, most likely. It's just, and they're a couple weeks away. The military defeat of ISIS in this one Fox News story can be measured in weeks, top U.S. general says. I know why the mainstream media isn't covering it, but even the conservative media hasn't done a good job of covering that. So I'll share that story with you. Of course, today the Senate is voting on the legislation that would ban all abortions beginning at 20 weeks. I know what the members in the Senate that are Republicans are going to vote, except there's a couple of them there, a couple of ladies that are not exactly conservative, but over 60% of Americans want to do away with late-term abortion. So we'll see what happens today on that. But I want to share about that. And a great article with some comments from, I'm trying to remember who said it. I think it was Mike Lee, Senator Mike Lee. Some great quotes in here. He's just a great conservative leader in the Senate and a great pro-life leader. And so I want to get to his comments today as well. And then did you hear about, I heard about this last week. And then I heard Glenn Beck was having some fun with it this morning. I think he got up to about 40 straws in his mouth. So the California bill out there, there's a California bill that's been put into place. Assemblyman Ian Cauldron, who's the Democratic majority leader of the state assembly, wants waiters to pay a fine or even go to jail for providing plastic straws. And just as a, before I get to that story, just as a little zinger here, a little dose of reality, this guy wants to put a bill in place to try to put down the abuse of our environment by trying to not have as many straws, plastic straws, wasted and going into landfills and destroying the earth, yet says nothing about the 150,000 plus abortions in his state every year. So the guy literally cares more about keeping plastic straws out of landfills than he does keeping aborted babies out of trash bins. And now that just shows you how dark and depraved and lost any individual can get. And you know, could I say that's indicative of a Democrat? Well, of a lot of them, of course. Now, I can't judge their hearts, but I can certainly judge their fruit. And on this particular issue, their fruit is rotten to the core. But I just look at that and go, oh, my goodness. The Lord is storing up his wrath. Do you ever think about that? That God's wrath is being stored up and one day will be completely unleashed. Now, it's either going to be completely unleashed and you will pay the price for all of your sin personally in hell forever, or Jesus Christ will take care of it. He already took care of it. The question is, have you applied it to your life through the gospel of Jesus Christ? But people that can be this dark, that will put so much time and effort and energy into trying to keep straws out of landfills, say nothing when it comes to babies and trash bins. And so it's just, I'll share a little bit of that story, and I try not to lose my mind, and it's easy to be a cynic, isn't it, with the way that the world is going. But we'll talk about the Grammys, and then we'll talk about the military, and we'll have David Fisher on at the last part of the show, and we'll talk about the bill that they're voting on today in the Senate. That, by God's grace, and only by God's grace, would that pass. But we'll see. It'll happen sometime today, and we'll pay attention to that. But the Grammys, let's look at that. This was from a pretty funny story. I think this was in Daily Signal. Viewers not tuning in to watch Hillary cameo, more hashtag time up speeches, and Jay-Z for president. The ratings were horrible. Apparently, inviting on Hillary Clinton to read from a debunked anti-Trump book was a bad idea, the article says. And so they go on to show that the ratings aren't just down a few points from last year. They're down over 20%. Over 20% decline from last year's show, to which I say amen. But another thing happened there, besides Hillary Clinton, the big hypocrite. I'll talk about that. And then Joy Villa turns up with this incredible dress. It's like a wedding dress that she put a big painting on. And I think when I tell you what the painting is when we come back, you're going to be happy for a change. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. So what are we waiting for? Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. Great to be with you. You can join us on Facebook if you'd like. We're live right now. So if you're listening later in the day, and by the way, let me find my little note here. Just want to welcome our newest affiliate. This is exciting. Way up there in the Great White North. This is our brand new friends up at 91.9 FM, The Bridge, up in Minnesota. International Falls and Fort Francis, way up there. They literally broadcast there in International Falls and into Canada. So that's pretty awesome. It's just a great addition. We recently changed and went on to Ambassador, Amboss, which is a really cool digital platform for a lot of Christian media. And God's just opening some doors. I've talked to 5 or 6 or 7 different station managers in the last few days about the spreading the show and the show growing. So excited for that. A big thanks to Tim Nelson up there. They're tape delaying it, so they'll listen to the show tonight. So if you're listening up there on 91.9 FM, The Bridge, it's somewhere between 7 and 8 p.m. your time, Central Time. But you can always join us during the day, 4 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 5 Eastern, right here on Facebook Live. So we have the camera on here in the studio doing the show on the radio as well as on Facebook Live. Facebook.com/C2A Radio. Facebook.com/C2A. That's the letter C, the number 2, the letter A, C2A Radio. That's where you'll find us on Facebook. But thanks again, Tim, for reaching out to us and to our new friends up there on 91.9 FM, The Bridge, in International Falls in Fort Francis, Minnesota. We are so blessed that you are joining the Call to Action family. So welcome to the show. So we're talking about the Grammys. So this is a problem. Only one woman won an award in the main event. and far fewer women among the big categories performed. And it wasn't just this year's program that had a Time's Up problem. A study released just before the event revealed that since 2013, over 90% of the Grammy nominees have been men. So once again, do as I say, not as I do. And to that point, let's see, Hillary Clinton or Piers Morgan. Hillary Clinton or eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Let's go to Piers Morgan right quick. Special thanks to TJ out there on Facebook Live who pointed. So this is Piers Morgan. This gives me great hope. I hope this gives you great hope, too. So Piers Morgan, uber liberal, right? So he's writing this article. That's where that quote that TJ shared that I shared at the beginning of the show came from. And the award for most sexist, misogynist bunch of vile hypocrites goes to the Grammys by Piers Morgan. Wow. So he starts off talking about this performance by a girl named Keisha who had been molested previously and some other women up there that have been speaking out that have been down the same road, unfortunately. And so, she was nominated but didn't win. In the category for which she was nominated, Best Pop Solo Performance, Ed Sheeran won for a song, as enraged Twitter swiftly pointed out, about getting a woman drunk and taking her home to have sex with her. Oops. Piers goes on to say this was the perfect embodiment of the gigantic problem the Grammys has is proudly joining the charge for better treatment of women because, let's be perfectly frank, it's the single most sexist, misogynist, and abusive award show of them all, celebrating many of the most sexist, misogynist, and abusive people in an amoral industry of spectacular proportions. Holy cow. Hats off to Piers Morgan for calling it right down the middle. I mean, he's totally hitting the nail on the head here. If you thought Hollywood's bad, it's got nothing on the record business, particularly in the world of hip-hop and rap. And then he goes on and on, talking about these various people who they lift up at the Grammys as they wear their hashtag Me Too button or whatever. Take Big Sean, a rapper whose lyrics are littered with misogynist and homophobic material in the video for his single I Don't Blank With You. The Detroit rapper talks about stupid blank female dogs. He collaborated last year on a song with Eminem, which included lyrics about urinating on another person. I can't even get through this in good conscience. I can't even read this stuff. And then, thank you, Piers, goes on down the road talking about all these people they lift up at the Grammys and in the music industry who are all total, I mean, really messed up, lost people. I mean, unbelievable. I mean, I can't read most of this on the air. I wouldn't read it if my kids were in the room. So, holy cow, thank you, Piers Morgan. That gives me great hope that Piers Morgan has the guts to call it like it is. Somebody who doesn't is Hillary Clinton. So she's on there last night, you know, trying to rip on Trump, a little funny thing they're doing about winning an award for best spoken book. And, of course, they're talking about Fire and Fury, the book that was, you know, alleges all these crazy things about Donald Trump. So then you got this story, which breaks. Hillary Clinton slammed for no apology response to harassment story. While the 2016 Democratic presidential candidate took some ribbing for her cameo Sunday at the Grammys, there's even more fury over her response to the bombshell report that she helped protect a senior advisor to her 2008 campaign amid accusations he sexually harassed a subordinate. Without apologizing, she said simply that women should be heard, and meanwhile showed up in a Twitter clip giving a shout-out to activist female dogs the same day that report was published. The New York Times first revealed the 2008 incident Friday, reporting that Clinton intervened to help her faith advisor Bernd Strider on board. She effectively overruled then-campaign manager Patty Solis Doyle, who wanted to fire Strider. Strider was sent to counseling and lost several weeks of pay, but remained on staff. So much for your moral authority, ma'am, once again, on this subject and pretty much any other. One bright spot from the Grammys, and we'll move on. Joy Villa, it's Villa or Villa, I don't really know. So she turns heads once again with a pro-life outfit at that event, the Grammys. So you'll remember her from last year. She wore the big Donald Trump thing. It said MAGA, kind of in vertical letters, and then Trump across the back of her dress down along the ground, like the train of the dress. This year she wore this this white dress with a tiara, and she had hand-painted the white dress herself with a little fetus surrounded by a bunch of different colors, kind of in the shape of a heart. And then she had this white leather bag, like a purse, that she wrote on there. She painted it on there, Choose Life. And she walks right into the lion's den of the Grammys. So she turned up at the 60th Grammy Awards in a dress meant to make a statement. I'm a pro-life woman, she said. This year I chose to make a statement on the red carpet like I always do, she told Fox News. I'm all about life. She made a name for herself last year, like I mentioned. And then when she was 20 or 21, She was pregnant, and it was a kind of a crisis pregnancy. I think the father was abusive, and she knew she wasn't going to keep the baby. So instead of choosing abortion, like far too many people do, she chose life and then put the baby up for adoption. A really cool part of this story is she still talks to that girl today. So she connected somehow later in life, and she still talks to her daughter, who was raised by another family. And it's just awesome that another great pro-life story and choosing life. And there was probably a crisis pregnancy center in there somewhere in the story. The only downside to this, which when I looked at a couple different articles, and then I found this other part to the story about Joy herself that I was like, oh, that's a bummer. So she is a card-carrying member of the Church of Scientology. So that doesn't erase the fact that she chose life. Praise God for that. And the fact that she had the guts, and boy, does it take a backbone to walk into that den of lions at the Grammys, which is probably 98% uber liberal, not garden variety liberal people, but uber liberal, probably uber abortion minded, uber pro-choice with that statement. And God bless her. I think that's awesome. But it is heartbreaking to see that she's a member of the Church of Scientology and therefore doesn't have faith in the true God of the Bible, Jesus Christ, the gospel itself. So I'll take just a couple seconds here before we finish the segment. We come back with some stories about ISIS and then the bill that they're voting on in the Senate. But Father God, I just lift up Joy Villa to you. I thank you, Lord, that she had the guts to show up and stand for life in that place, the Grammys last night. That's just an awesome testimony, Father, but it sure seems like she doesn't know you. She's caught up in a cult and a lie. So we pray that you'll send your people to Joy to share the gospel, and she will believe in Christ, believe in what he did for her, and we'll be born again, and we ask that in Jesus' name. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. Great to be with you. A couple more stories I want to get to, and then we'll have David Fisher in on the last segment of the show today for a Money Monday update. Plenty of things going on out there in the financial world we need to be paying attention to, but I did want to remind you about one of our great partners, MediShare, which is a great ministry, a not-for-profit ministry. They're not like this and like health insurance company that's coming to steal everybody's money and make too much profit themselves. It's not a regular thing. MediShare has been around for a long time, since 1993, a not-for-profit Christian ministry, over $1 billion shared by other Christians, very Book of Acts sounding, isn't it? Since 1993, and the Noble family, we've been MediShare members for almost 6 years now. It's been a huge blessing for us, saved us a ton of money, also empowers us to kind of manage our healthcare dollars, and we don't spend as frivolously as we used to because we pay for our well care, and then we have our MediShare family there in case we have major medical stuff. So that's kind of your catastrophic backdrop for life on earth with broken bodies and all the other stuff that goes with it. So I hope you'll check out MediShare. It's easy as one phone call. 855-BIBLE-11 is the phone number. 855-BIBLE-11, also now available in Montana. But when you call them, just say, hey, I heard about you guys on the Steve Noble, this Call to Action radio show, because they track all that stuff, and we want them to know that we're sharing that information, especially for me as a MediShare member with my family. It's been a great blessing. So I hope you'll check it out. 855-BIBLE-11. We were talking about the Grammys and stuff. And then one story that's not getting a lot of play is this just colossal defeat of ISIS in the last 12 months. And I know why the mainstream media, liberal media, is not covering it, because it's a good thing for Trump and his administration. But the mainstream media isn't even talking about it a lot. So I saw this story today on Fox News. The military defeat of ISIS could be just weeks away, a top U.S. military official said Monday. A stunning development given the terror group once boasted the infrastructure to control an expanse of territory in Syria and Iraq, where 10 million people lived. U.S. Central Command General Joseph Vattel made the comment during a speech to Jordan's National Defense School on Monday, according to a tweet posted by Defense One. Quote, the timeline for the military defeat of ISIS can now be measured in weeks, he said, though he cautioned there is still very tough fighting going on in the middle Euphrates River Valley. The gains that led to Votel's rosy assessment came after changes in the rules of engagement instituted over the last year. Well, where'd that come from? That came from the top. That came from Donald Trump. So let's give the president his props on this one. The rules of engagement under the Obama administration were onerous. I mean, what are we doing having individual target determination being conducted in the White House, which in some cases add weeks and weeks? Retired Air Force Lieutenant General David Deptula, the former head of U.S. Air Force Intelligence, told Fox News the limitations that were put on actually resulted in greater civilian casualties. What comes after ISIS has been wiped out is another story, and whether a wide-ranging Syria peace deal can happen soon in Geneva is no sure thing. Votel noted some of the country's woes predate ISIS's reign of terror. I think we're probably a ways away from this, Votel said at the event in Jordan. As we defeat ISIS, many of the underlying tensions that have always existed in Syria are coming back to the forefront. Makes pursuit of political solutions not impossible, but complicated. So hats off to the president and his cabinet, and especially his military leaders. It helps, I think, to have a bunch of generals in the White House who know how to prosecute a war, and you got to let them. So the rules of engagement are left to the professionals on the field, and that looks like that's exactly what happened with Donald Trump, and praise the Lord for it. I think that's great. Speaking of President Trump, he'll do his second State of the Union address. That'll be tomorrow night. I think it's 9 p.m. Eastern time. So that'll be interesting. He'll talk about ISIS. He's mostly going to talk about the economy and all the great things happening there. It seems like every other day you're hearing about companies. I picked up a paper this morning when I was waiting to get some coffee, and there was a story in there about all these companies that are going to start investing more in their infrastructure and in factories and building out factories and expanding operations here in the States because some other aspects of the tax reform, which is going to give them an advantage in capital expenditures. And so they're just, you know, pumping up the economy, which is one of the things that has to happen if we're going to get anywhere down the road in saving this country financially. Our engine has to be operating on all 8 cylinders. Donald Trump will talk about that a lot tomorrow night during the State of the Union address. That's 9 p.m. Eastern. Of course, we'll talk about that after it's all done and said. But here's something. This is like the Grammys. I won't watch this either because I don't like to throw up unless I'm sick. A group of Hollywood elites, this is from Fox News, progressive groups and social activists are planning a People's State of the Union as a public alternative on the eve of President Donald Trump's first State of the Union address. Notable participants. That's funny. In Monday's scheduled event in New York, I sound terrible, sorry, include filmmaker Michael Moore, actors Mark Ruffalo, who plays the Hulk, right? Alyssa Milano, Rosie Perez, and Whoopi Goldberg. They'll congregate at the town hall in Manhattan, the venue where suffragists met in the 1920s. Singer Andra Day and rapper Common, that's really an exciting name, will be performing the song Stand Up for Something from the biopic film Marshall about the late Supreme Court Justice Thurgood Marshall. Tickets were still available Saturday at $47 each. I can't believe they weren't sold out. What a shock. The event coordinated by unions, organizers of the Women's March. Woo. All right, hold on. I'm trying to keep it together. Organizer of the Women's March and Planned Parenthood is being marketed as a celebration of the resistance closer to the people's point of view, USA Today reported. Wow. Just let me go back to that. The Women's March, where no God-fearing, respectable man or woman should ever be caught there. You should never take your kids there. There's one of the most disgusting things you can see in America today, publicly, is a gay pride parade. And I know that sounds homophobic. It isn't. It's just a reality that gay pride parades can be so deviant, so disgusting. In second place, and maybe in many ways, worse is the Women's March. If you have a filter, if you have somebody watching your computer, like my wife gets a report about what I see on my computer, just be careful. Because if you Google images, 2018 Women's March, you will be shocked at the language, at the comments, at the way some people are dressed. And so that's who's behind the People's State of the Union, organizers of the Women's March, and the number one murderer of unborn children in America, Planned Parenthood. And that's the people's point of view. That's assuming if, you know, you weren't killed in the womb. So that's what's going on. And I'll pay attention to that so you don't have to. And then I'll report back to you on it. But I promise I won't talk about it for more than a couple of minutes. So that's, wow. Anyway, this is really important. This is going on today. Let me check and make sure nothing has happened here. But they're voting today in the Senate on trying to ban abortions after 20 weeks for the obvious case for many people where it's like dealing with pain. Okay, what can these babies, that preborn children at 20 weeks, feel? The Pain-Capable Unborn Child Protection Act, they're trying to vote on that today. That would create a federal ban on abortions after the 20th week of pregnancy. Mike Lee had some great things. There's some great quotes here. Our abortion laws are as extreme as the abortion laws in Vietnam, in China, and in North Korea, Senator Lee said. Now it pains me, and it should pain all of us as Americans, that the United States lags so far behind the rest of the world in protecting unborn children. Senator Lee pointed out that at 20 weeks of development, 5 months, a preborn child is roughly the size of a banana and can sleep, wake, suck her thumb, and see light filtering through the womb. 20 weeks of development is also the point at which a preborn child can feel pain. Each year in this country, Lee said, more than 10,000 abortions occur after this point in the baby's development. We can stop this, and we must. Senator Lee quoted from several scientific studies showing that preborn children at 20 weeks can, in fact, feel pain. Quote, the takeaway from these studies is this. Science, at a minimum, suggests that unborn children can feel pain at 20 weeks, can feel the abortionist knife and suction tube as it rips them apart in the womb, Senator Lee said. That possibility alone should have us rushing to ban abortion at 20 weeks. So members of the House passed a version of the Pain-Capable Unborn Child Protection Act in October of last year in a roll call vote, 237 to 189. 189 members of our House of Representatives didn't think you should stop abortions at the five-month period and on. 189 members. We'll know today in the Senate how many of them are so sick and depraved as to think that we shouldn't do it. Now, there should be no abortions at all, right? I don't care if it's a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. They have to be a certain ways along to even be able to do an abortion. But are you 486, the morning after pill? You just pop that bad boy a couple days later, and you're off to the killing fields. And so there should be no abortion. But this one, now I'm not the one that's, I don't agree with the mentality or the strategy that says you don't settle for anything except an outright ban. Because I think I could stand in front of the judgment seat of Christ, having worked and done, try to do my part in the pro-life movement. And if I had the opportunity to sign a bill that would outlaw all abortions except for, in the case of rape, incest, and the life of the mother, because that's less than 2% of all abortions in the country. 98%+ of them are purely elective. This would be a great step. They took it in the House. Will they take it in the Senate? I doubt it, but we'll keep an eye on it. And let's make sure we're praying for our leaders every day, whether you voted for them or not, according to Scripture. Pray1Tim2.org is a website you need to visit so you can be praying every day. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. Great to be with you. We'll keep an eye on what's going on in the Senate today, where they are trying to pass a pain-capable abortion ban 20 weeks and later, 5 months. 5 months gestation, which is at least the length of a banana, and can feel pain, identify light, all kinds of stuff. It's a little baby human being. And we'll see what the members of the U.S. Senate, we'll see just how depraved a certain number of them are, that they wouldn't even stop killing babies at that point. So that's going on today. We'll keep an eye on that. And, of course, tomorrow night is Donald Trump's State of the Union address. That will be an interesting evening, of course, and we'll pay attention to that and talk about it hopefully on Wednesday. We'll see what the schedule looks like. But there'll be some news that comes out of that that matters on the economic front and on the financial front. And that's why we always talk to our good friend David Fisher every Monday with a Money Monday update today. David Fisher from Landmark Capital. How you doing, my buddy?
I'm doing great, my friend.
Great to have you on, and it'll be interesting tomorrow night to watch Donald Trump's State of the Union. I know we're going to talk about several different Donald Trump things going on in the news, and especially after his recent visit to Davos, Switzerland. But I really look forward to our Money Monday updates, because we always start where we should start, which is with a passage of Scripture that we're going to focus on here for a couple minutes. So lead us into that.
Absolutely, Steve. Thanks. Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You know, That's why Scripture says, hold every thought captive, because those thoughts will turn into a belief system, which will turn into how we live and will guide our life. So it's really important to know what we think and what we believe goes hand in hand. Yeah. And those thoughts can lead us towards Christ. As we have the mind of Christ, we'll become like Christ. Well, those thoughts can lead us away from becoming like Christ in every aspect of our life. That's why the Bible says, hold those thoughts captive. It also happens in the world of finances. Sometimes we can develop a bad belief system thinking, you know, debt is good. All this debt is great. And it's like, let's create a whole new norm of having mass amount of debt is just normal now. And we all know that debt is a four-letter word, and so to speak. It's not a good thing. It can be used for good purposes, but it really will come back to haunt you. As my dad said, it'll take you down that road, hold you longer than you want, and cost you more money than you ever can imagine.
Man, that's for sure. And it doesn't seem to be an issue that our Congress has a problem with. And in many ways, I don't think Donald Trump appears to have a problem with it. So let's dive and talk about the international news. In this case, that involves our president as well as Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin at the World Economic Forum this week in Davos, Switzerland. So Mnuchin was talking about the dollar and what was going on with the dollar going down. So what did he say and why does it matter?
Well, Steve was talking not in the main session, but he said this, quote, obviously a weaker dollar is good for us as it relates to trade and opportunities. And you know, that statement is accurate. As we have, Steve, a lower dollar, it makes the cost of our goods and services that we make and create here in the United States, when we want to ship them abroad, that can be bought at a cheaper level for foreigners. So that's the benefit to this. So we're seeing a conflict, though, of this. It doesn't go in line with what the president's been saying. Just a couple days after that, President Trump spoke, and he said just the opposite in Davos, and he spoke in the main session, but he said that we need to have a strong dollar, and it does make America great if we have a strong dollar. So there's a little bit of dichotomy going on there.
Yeah, so, well, then who's right? Do we listen to the president, or do we listen to Steve Mnuchin?
Well, I think in this case, they're both right. Here's the dilemma we're facing as a country, and this is why we have to think through this, and it comes down to a belief system. President Trump went over Davos, which is the World Global Economic Forum, to tout America and make America great. So if we have a strong dollar, which is what President Trump said, Steve, that means that when foreigners send over their money from their country into our country, and the dollar is strong, it's going up, that means they have a guaranteed win. They don't have a guaranteed loss of the dollars going down. So from that standpoint, to attract money into our country, we want to have a strong dollar. Steve Mnuchin, though, has been right. The dollar's been moving down for the last year plus, and on his comments, the dollar slid aggressively to the lowest level since 2014. And so a weak dollar actually is good for trade. So the president, though, is going to be the one who really dictates this, although there's never been a sitting president who's really talked about the strength of the currency or the weakness of a currency, and neither really since Robert Rubin in the 80s has he spoken about the value of the dollar as a Treasury Secretary. So it's very unusual, living in very unusual time. It's conflicting. I've done four interviews with TD Ameritrade this year talking about this, and it's kind of baffling the short-term traders which way the dollar is going to go. I think in the short term we're going to see a little uptick, but long-term we're seeing a lower value in the dollar, unfortunately.
So there's what Trump is saying, and there's what Steve Mnuchin, his Treasury Secretary, is saying, but how does it matter to us? Like to us regular folks out here that aren't running around trading in currency and stuff, how does the dollar being weak or strong affect the average American?
Well, a weak dollar causes the value of the dollar, our purchasing power, to erode away. And that's what's been happening over time since 1971 when Nixon took us off a gold standard. And easily understand, a $20 gold piece and a $20 bill in the 20s or 30s or 40s were the same. Actually, in the 20s, they were the purchasing power is a brand new suit a man could buy. We took us off a gold standard, and today a $20 bill will not buy the suit I'm wearing today, which I wear every day to work. But a $20 gold coin is worth $1,300, converted to cash, and it will still hold its purchasing power. So it's really, we need to have a something that backs our currency, and unfortunately the government nor the Federal Reserve is not going to back our currency by gold. So that's where the average person needs to diversify out of stocks and have some money into precious metals, because we're going to have some problems coming down the road, and they're at the threshold of our economy right now.
Does any of that have any effect on what we've seen in the market today, which is, I think, down like 177 points? Is that tied together at all, or is there something else going on?
Well, that's tied together in the form of treasuries. The treasury, the 10-year treasury, which is the mainstream debt instrument that our government issues to create wealth for our country, or to create money to pay for our bills, that breached a level, and I don't want to get all technical, but 2.7%, which means it's moving up. As it's moving up, bonds are moving down. I was on your program here earlier in the month saying that we're just moved into a bear market in bonds. Jeffrey Gundlach and Bill Gross, the two bond kings, are saying this. So this whole thing that happened in Davos, the aftermath now is happening, where we're seeing bond prices, the yields going up, causing bonds to move down. It's creating a financial problem that's really going to be detrimental. But, you know, they're saying now the new norm is going to be 3%. That's like saying, oh, the new temperature in your house should be 95 degrees during the day. Wow. They're fabricating the whole thing.
Yeah, which is unfortunately not a shock. I know you wanted to bring up something that a well-known CEO said last week that's been echoing something you've been saying for a while. So what is that exactly?
Well, it's actually in the new white paper that the writing of the quote. And that is, this is from the CEO of Allianz, Oliver Bate. He said last week that it's not a matter of a question of if, but when. He's referring to the stock market correcting. And he said, we just don't know when a correction is going to happen, but it's absolutely clear it's going to happen. You know, and he's among several other people, Steve, the prominent experts that are saying an imminent correction is going to happen, at least 10 to 20%, and maybe a full-blown crash greater than 2007 or 1929. Some are even looking at it. And we've created so many bubbles, and that's what this white paper is about. The bubble, which relates to the 10-year yield and the treasury and our debt, it's all tied together.
So what kind of information, and this is the new white paper you have coming out called Time Is Up, Which Bubble Will Burst First to Trigger the Coming Great Deflate, which you can get that information, it's educational piece, at landmarkgold.com, or you can give David's staff a call at 844-879-8882. What kind of road does that lead us down? Because I know we have to be prepared. It's kind of hope for the best and prepare for the worst. And then kind of what are the practical implications of this white paper in terms of kind of regular investors like me and probably most people on our listening to our show?
Yeah, well, we will look at bubbles, Steve. Bubbles burst. And, you know, we have a tendency to ignore the euphoria. I mean, look what is happening right now. The stock market year to date has moved up 7.1%, the Dow. That's phenomenal. It takes usually over 50 years. 7% is the annual return over a 50-year period of time, year after year. So it's doing what it did in 1 month and what it normally do in 12. So it's in a bubble. And so when the bubbles burst, whether it be stocks or bonds or whatever the bubble is, and there's different bubbles at different levels, that's where you want to have something on the other side of the scale so you're balanced. And that's precious metals. When gold, when we had the bubble burst in 2007, stocks went down 40%. Gold went up 50% in the first year in a multi-year run and doubled in 2.5 years. So we advocate get ahead of the curve. The bubble is formed and it's going to pop. Get some protection.
Yeah, I have somebody on the opposite end of the teeter-totter. We all remember what happens when the teeter-totter's out of balance. Somebody gets crashed down to the ground, and it's not a lot of fun. What's the way people can get a hold of your team there to get this information?
They can call us at 844-879-8882 or go to our website at landmarkgold.com.
Excellent. David, I know we'll have a lot to talk about next Monday. It'll be a full Money Monday, the first Monday of the month of February. We look forward to talking to you then. Thanks for calling in as well, as always.
Likewise. God bless, Steve.
Okay, God bless you too. Thank you, brother. Again, David's team is at landmarkgold.com or 844-879-8882. Great information, great education there to help you make your decisions with the money that God has entrusted into your care. This is Steve Noble. It is Call to Action Radio. And God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon.